So, big news last week was Michael Moore's movie was finally released, Fahrenheit 9/11. And both Bob and I went to the movie, and we had some opinions, and we'd like to just talk about that for a while. And of course, you're welcome to call us up if you have your own opinions, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. The number is, as usual, 412-621-9728. So, Bob, why don't you start off with what did you think?
Well, I think the first thing thought that comes to my mind is before we talk about the movie itself was just the scene around the country of people going to see the movie. I think the thing that was really gratifying and emotionally moving for me, in fact, today, if you look at Michael Moore's website, which is just michaelmoore.com, the opening page now refers to Fahrenheit 9/11, and one of the things that he has there is photographs from all around the country that people send him, many of the pictures taken surreptitiously inside the cinema, showing what was going on Friday night, really everywhere, all across the country, and also here in Pittsburgh. I was disappointed to say that, as far as I know, no one has sent him any pictures from here, so there aren't any on his website. But
somebody sent one from Allentown and from
they were from Allentown and from Erie.
Yeah, right. But nothing.
Someplace called Oaks, which I've never heard of before.
Oh, there's one from Philadelphia.
One from Philadelphia with it looked like George Bush in line there, yeah, waiting to get in. I went to the Manor Theater, as I know you did, and really starting from the afternoon and right through past midnight, it was quite a scene, and there were just dozens of people. I couldn't really take account, either waiting in line to get in, or waiting to try to buy tickets, or hanging around afterward, talking with each other. There were people from MoveOn who were trying to sign people up to help out in the campaign to get rid of George Bush once and for all. And there were people doing voter registration. And Danny was
leafleting for Democracy Now.
And it was the atmosphere was just fabulous. I mean, I really found it incredibly gratifying to see that so many people were there and that people were so electrified, like they felt compelled to be there on Friday. Like people weren't saying, oh, I'll see it later. It'll be there a while. They were like saying, no, we have to show up. We have to be there on Friday. I bought tickets on Wednesday, I remember, and could hardly wait until going there. And so, that was what that said to me was that there really is a thirst out there for, an alternative point of view, because, especially in the earlier part of the evening, but really throughout the evening, most of the people who were outside were waiting to get in. They hadn't actually seen it yet. Mm-hmm. And so, that really reflected an intense desire to see this movie and to see another point of view, because constantly we have nothing but the right-wing noise machine on the radio and on television and in the newspapers with this, constant drumbeat of the same nonsense over and over. And so I think there's a lot of pent-up demand for an alternative point of view. And so I think that's part of it. I think the other part of it is that based on his track record, people knew that Moore was very likely to do a good job with the film, and of course it had won the Palme d'Or in Cannes. But there have been plenty of films that have won the Palme d'Or in Cannes that people didn't line up for on the street around the country. So what was fun is the electric atmosphere at the Manor, certainly, and then going to Moore's website and realizing that this was all over the country. It's like I still can get riled up about it. It's really so satisfying that you look around in small towns as well as large towns. Of course, you would expect it in San Francisco or in Berkeley or, in Boston. But this was also in Tulsa and North, various places in North Carolina Texas and
Erie,
the heart of Bush country, Erie, Pennsylvania, around the whole country. And so it was fun to feel sort of, part of that and to feel that there's hope after all, right, that there are people all around the country who are just keen to get another point of view.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much we should talk about the movie itself. I mean, we don't want to give it away. Well, it's not like there's a plot line that you're really going to give away.
That's
true.
I think our listeners know all the facts, and we could never do justice to the way Michael Moore presents those facts. I guess what can we say about it? Well, first of all, is, well, the topic that has come up in conversation with other of Michael Moore's movies is the question of what sort of an argument is he making and how successful is it as an argument? Before we launch on that, let's just mention, if any of our listeners would like to call in and comment, the number here is 412-621-9728, or you can send mail to bob@leftout.info. So back to the Fahrenheit 9/11. So going back to the days of, you know, Roger and Me, which is his first movie, and all of his various exploits, subsequent films, the TV Nation television series, some of his books, Stupid White Men and Dude, Where's My Country, or now Fahrenheit 9/11, most topically, people often argue, it seems to me, take a rather small-minded view about what he's trying to do and how successful it is. I wonder if you might want to comment on that, Danny.
Well, yeah, I can present the small-minded view, and then you can tell me how.
No, but
I thought that there was an article I read about the movie by Matthew Rothschild, who's an editor of the Progressive magazine, and he was disappointed because he felt the movie took so many cheap shots. The movie was a whole, you know, menagerie of different aspects of this, including down to details that are sort of like cheap shots, like where Bush is right before he goes on TV to announce that taking the nation to war, he's kind of making goofy expressions and wiggling his eyes around and stuff like that.
Right.
It's a little strange that he would be feeling in a mood to do that before announcing taking the nation to
gravity,
war. I mean,
yeah.
But on the other hand, it's not a factual. It's not a lie that Bush told, or it's not one of those impeachable offenses, which of course the movie is full of. But yet, so he does take these cheap shots. But I don't think that weakens the. Rothschild didn't like it for that reason. He thought it weakened the case because it feels that, well, people will see that and they'll see that he's biased and they won't believe the rest of the story in the movie. But the problem with that is that people like his movies because it's got all that humor and all that funny stuff in it.
Right.
And those funny candid shots, the silly scenes where he drives a bus around trying to read the Patriot Act from an ice cream truck.
Yeah.
The goofy stunts that he pulls. And you know, he's a very successful filmmaker, and people go to his movies because of all those techniques that he uses. So I can't really fault him for that stuff.
Right. Yeah, so I think I had a discussion with some friends about this last night, and it was the same discussion as some friends were saying, well, you know, as a logical argument, as it were, a proof that Bush should be impeached or at any rate voted out of office, it didn't succeed. But my argument is that it's not really intending to be that at all. For example, if you go back to even with Roger and Me, I mean, there's no obvious causal relationship between the person being evicted from her house on Christmas Eve and the fact that Roger Smith closed down the GM plant in Flint, Michigan. But it speaks to a larger truth, and the larger truth is the prevalence of poverty in the country, in a country as wealthy as ours, and how little attention is paid to it. And so he's making larger points. It's also true that he's manipulating your emotions. And I think the person I was talking with last night didn't particularly care for that. But actually, I was sort of bathing in it myself.
Yeah.
I very much enjoyed having my emotions manipulated because I've been so emotional about all of the things that he touches on in the film.
So he presents a lot of factual information that I think is completely irrefutable. It's documented in many ways, and a lot of right-wing websites and pundits are lashing out and trying to criticize the facts, but I think they're just banging their head against the wall because this is all established.
Yeah, I think so there are two aspects. I mean, one is what you alluded to earlier. There is no doubt that in some respects the movie is a smear of George Bush, and I think it's a good thing too because it's about damn time.
Yeah.
Some people have said it wasn't
Well, it wasn't a balanced presentation.
It's not a balanced presentation.
But so what? We've had 4 years of ridiculously unbalanced the other way.
Exactly.
I mean, it's about time somebody else came along to say something.
It
about
is definitely
this.
Not a balanced presentation, and bully for Michael because that's I think that's exactly what is deserved in the situation, and the situation that we're in. But you know, the other thing that you're touching on. So then there's a lot of information in there. That one thing I noticed during the movie is, you know, there were many things that we've talked about here and left out, or that we've read about in various news sites, for example, around the world, anywhere but the U.S. You know, it's been very useful to get the news just by looking at the London Independent or the Toronto Globe and Mail or the Sydney Morning Herald or Al Jazeera or a variety of others where you can get a rather different perspective. And so a lot of these things, for those of us who have the luxury of having access to those sources and have the time or have taken the time to do it, we knew all these things.
Right.
And so I was sitting there during the movie thinking, what's amazing to me is that people don't know this stuff, right?
Yeah.
People don't know who is Hamid Karzai, that he's an old crony from Unocal. You know, they didn't just like, this is, where did he come from? What's the story, right?
It wasn't like picked by the Afghan people.
You know, as an example, or the fact that the Bush family has for generations been, you know, close business ties with the Bin Laden family. Well, you can decide whether that's important or not, but as far as like, is that a crucial determining factor in our foreign policy? Well, I think there's some aspects of that are debatable, but the fact of it is not out there.
Right.
Nor is the fact of it, for example, that, you know, the kind of destruction, what's really been going on in Iraq, right? Because the U.S. government has been extremely effective at suppressing the news from Iraq, suppressing any footage of like the real damage that was done to people.
So there was a scene in the movie where he shows Iraq before the bombing, and they shows like these happy scenes of kids playing and stuff like that.
Right.
And then he shows the bombing and the carnage and then the, you know, the,
of course, we're not allowed to see that. They never show that on, you know, they would never show that on network television.
You mean the carnage part?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or Fox News. Or even the U.S. soldiers and what the who have lost limbs or been killed.
And he shows all that,
attacks,
too.
You know,
right.
So the movie in that respect is very shocking in many ways. So there's a lot of a lot there that that really sends you reeling.
But there was a comments by Christopher Hitchens. He apparently really got mad because
Christopher Hitchens.
Yeah, well, he didn't like the fact that they showed Baghdad, the kids playing in the street and having a good time before the bombing. He thought that was a misrepresentation of the horrors of Saddam Hussein. But the fact of the matter is, most Iraqis are saying it was better before.
It's the usual.
And this is just a mathematical fact. This is not a subjective thing. They're saying it was better with Saddam Hussein in power than what's happening now. And Moore was representing by those scenes. And in fact, that's a correct decharacterization of what actually is going on.
Well, we've had to kill tens of thousands of Iraqis in order to save them. That's an old story. So the thing that there are many, many things in this movie. We could certainly go on for the entire hour talking about all of them. And I just would say to encourage our listeners to have a look, to go see it. I think you'll find it quite compelling. But the scandal for me that comes out of the movie more than anything, I mean, there's the direct and intended effect, of course, which is to expose Bush for the nincompoop that he is. And that he does rather well. And in fact, the most damning scene is, I would say, in the entire movie is the one that has been often quoted in the newspapers and on television and so on, which is the footage of George Bush doing precisely nothing, looking befuddled after having been told of the second attack by Andrew Card, of the second attack on the World Trade Center, and really looking, I have to say, absolutely clueless. But the thing that I was thinking when I was there, so for many Americans, many people I've heard comment on it, that they didn't realize that he just sat there and had no idea what to do. And if you look further into it, you know, there's related things like we know now that Richard Clark was running the Situation Room because Condi was incapable of doing it. So she just stood in the background. Dick Cheney was with his wife in a sub basement in the White House. It was really Richard Clark who took over. These people are not competent, right? That's a fact we've brought out many times, that even if you are a conservative and even if you think that ousting Saddam Hussein was precisely the right foreign policy move for us to make at the time that he did, the incompetence with which it was handled is astonishing.
It's like saying, I mean, this is an analogy. I've tried to figure out a way of explaining it. But suppose you said you're out in the Old West and somebody decides we need a police department in this town. We got to have a policeman. Everybody says, we definitely need a sheriff in this town. So what you do is you go out and you pick the worst gang of criminals.
The Hell's Angels
to come in and be the sheriff. I mean, you've got a sheriff now. But, I mean, you've not solved the problem. This is what's happening when you say, Hitchens and others have said, oh, it was, we had to get rid of Saddam Hussein. It was very important for the. But then you put in charge these completely incompetent and motivated by completely the wrong set of things.
Right.
And you put them in charge of making all the detailed decisions about how to do it. And
so,
you're
bound to
have a disaster.
So the level of incompetence is there. So one thing that's was brought out is that, but the thing that I was thinking about where I was heading with this was that many people have never seen like that footage. And it's been out. I mean, I've seen that footage of
Bush sitting in the room.
Bush just sitting there dumbfounded for, you know, 9 minutes, not knowing what to do, is really shocking. But Moore's movie is the first time that the general public is going to see this.
What if somebody told you your house was on fire?
What would you do?
And somebody said your house is on fire. What would
exactly.
you do? Would you just sit there for 9 minutes?
It's inconceivable.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's inconceivable. So the point is that many people see this thing and they say, you know, wow, I never realized this, which brings out the real scandal of the movie, which is that the fact that no one knows this. That there has been no coverage of this whatsoever. There's been no mention, right, of, for example, that fact. Or it's only very recently as a result of the 9/11 Commission, which, you know, as we know, Bush worked very hard to prevent it from existing and then tried to install, of all people, Henry Kissinger as the chairman of it to begin with, did everything he could to prevent it. But now that it's come out, you know, the 9/11 Commission report has started to come out. Finally comes out the story about the Saudi Arabians, including members of the bin Laden family, who were flown out of the U.S. 2 days after the 9/11 attacks, with only, you know, a minimal or a cursory review by the FBI, just looking at their names
those
and giving
people,
it okay.
I mean, nobody could fly.
It's
Nobel
totally
Prize
amazing,
winners,
right?
CEOs, famous rock stars. Nobody,
nobody
could fly except
the bin Ladens
and
the Saudi Arabians. Right?
Yeah.
And so... the thing is that you and I know this, and we've talked about this on Left Out, I'm sure. And anyway, it's known amongst people who have had the opportunity and taken the trouble to look into it. But none of this has ever gotten reported. Okay, once the 9/11 Commission brought it out, then it got reported. But before that, this was a non-fact, right?
Mm-hmm,
this was something that complete. When I told, even as recently as last November, when I was visiting my family for Thanksgiving, I was telling my cousin about the Saudi Arabians being flown out of the country. I'm quite sure he didn't believe me. Because it's too preposterous. I mean, it can't possibly. Don't be
the
ridiculous.
The bin Ladens are being.
Yeah, I'm obviously a kook, right? I mean, I'm obviously a kook. So the service of the movie is doing, I think, in part, is at least making people realize that they've been had, right? That they've not been told remotely the story.
Yeah.
And whatever the real story is, whether Moore, you know, his particular angle that, you know, that the huge financial obligations that the Bush family has to the bin Laden family, whether that's, you know, relevant to foreign policy or not, is a sort of a separate issue from the mere fact that none of these things have been discussed at all. It hasn't even been open. It hasn't even been a possibility. Or Moore in the movie makes fun of the fact that it's, in some ways it's lighthearted, in some ways it's not, of the, you know, the preposterous level of reporting in the war due to the impeded or embedded reporters that were in Iraq who were just going over there telling us about, you know, the wonderful technology, and Ted Koppel saying that we have this, you know, efficient killing machine or words to that effect. Or Katie Couric telling us that, you know, that Navy SEALs rock. You know, that's like her idea of reporting, you know, of journalism. And it's that's the thing, I think, that I hope the effect that the movie could have is, because people have often asked, you know, well, will this movie change anyone's mind? And somehow, actually, to be honest, I think the answer to that is yes. But setting that aside, I think what I hope that it will do is make people realize that there is a de facto conspiracy in the way that the news is reported in the U.S. What do I mean by de facto conspiracy? I mean, if you go to ABC and CBS and CNN, you see the exact same story all the time. And then you can discover, if you're lucky, a year later that, well, you know what? All those kooks who are telling you about this, that, and the other aspect of the story, it turns out to be true. And it's never even discussed as a possibility, right?
I mean, these stories sometimes appear in the mainstream print media. A small story at page A10 will appear, and then it will get no follow-up. So if you read carefully, if you read something like the Truth Out summary of the news, you will get these stories from mainstream sources, but then they'll just disappear, mostly not TV. Forget TV.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just, I got so mad at Ted Koppel because there was a scene, one of those scenes was in Michael Moore's movie,
Fahrenheit 9/11.
I saw it too when I watched Nightline one time, where he was just, you know, just oohing and aahing over the great killing machines they had. And then 6 months later, he's doing shows about the injured Iraqis, which I laud him. I mean, sorry, injured Americans coming back, yeah. And their lives are ruined from this.
Right.
And I laud him for doing that. But then he went on this sanctimonious story about when you go to a war, you really have to think more carefully about the damage that's
what
done.
Nonsense.
I mean, it's his fault. It's his fault. If he had reported what the hell was going on.
To begin with, him and his ilk. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the funny thing.
Stopped the war.
Moore, I mean, puts up Ted Koppel. I mean, of course, there are many of these guys who could have been put forward. But the thing is, Ted Koppel is, by many measures, one of our most responsible television journalists. And that's our excuse. That's the limit, right? That's the guy. That's the best of the lot in certain dimensions, right? And here he is out there in Iraq telling us about the efficiency of the killing machine. And then of course, it goes all the way down the line until you get to the real, you know, till you get to the real detritus at the bottom of people like Katie Couric and others. But the fact is, that's the best you can hope for. The best you can hope for would be the Ted Koppel's behavior or Dan Rather's behavior.
Right.
You know, never mind. Let's not even consider some of the others. So the thing that I would like to see the film stir up, and I think going back to my original point, is that the thirst that I recognized, you know, or that I saw at the showing, it really reflects the absence of this coverage. Anyway, so to continue the point about Fahrenheit 9/11, so I think that the behavior of people around the country who were going in, looking at dying to see the movie is partly because of this, right? That's one thing. But the other side that you notice is that there wasn't a single mention that I saw in the Post-Gazette of that any of this had happened.
The scene.
Yeah, the scene.
The theater.
The scene. At the Manor Theater. This is, I've lived in Pittsburgh for 15 years. I live down the block. You live down the block from the Manor Theater. I mean, I've never seen anything remotely like this, whether it's for a documentary or whether it was for Lord of the Rings. I mean, it doesn't matter, right? There was nothing of this nature at all. And was it mentioned? No. Was there a photo in the paper? No. Nothing. Zero.
Well, there were some TV reporters there.
There were
interviewing people.
Is that right? Okay,
yeah.
So I didn't see any. I don't watch TV very often.
Well, it was.
Often,
it
so.
Was. I didn't watch it. I saw him. I was there earlier than you. I was there about 7. Uh-huh. So 7:30.
So the nightly news probably covered it. You think?
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. I didn't see the scene on the news, but I think they did cover it. So we do have a caller.
Okay, we do have a caller. Hopefully we think. We can... would you please go ahead?